What does success look like beyond the numbers? Success to me looks like prioritizing myself, my family, my relationship with my husband, and then investing is kind of secondary now because I spent so much time doing the investing upfront.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Invest Her podcast. This is Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli.
We have arrived to 500 episodes, and we're celebrating this milestone today by talking about the true meaning of growth and success. It's not just about acquiring more properties, but it's about the development of ourselves and our lifestyle along the way.
And to celebrate it, we are welcoming back Minda Jensen, our first interview. We're going to dive in into her personal and business growth. And we're going to share also the lessons that we personally have learned throughout the way. So you don't have to make the same mistakes that we did. Stay tuned. So Mindy, we're super excited to have you back after 6 years. I think you came before too, right?
This is our third time.
I can't believe it's 6 years. But yes, I love speaking with you ladies. Thank you so much for inviting me back.
After 500 episodes, this one's going to be much better, ladies, than the first one, because the first one we had to record over and over again. But here we go. We're talking about growth and success. And, you know, Mindy, you know us. We talk about, okay, a holistic approach about what success looks like beyond the numbers, beyond the number of doors that we own. And we're curious, what success looks like to you now?
Oh, success to me, because I am 52 years old, success to me looks like winding down. And I guess maybe winding isn't the right word, but I am pulling back on a lot of obligations. I used to say yes to everything. I know you ladies don't have any idea what that's like, right? But I used to say yes to everything. And then I got to the point where it's like, my calendar is so busy. Somebody asks to schedule an event. I'm like, well, what's your 6 months from now look like? It's just go, 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 go all the time. And I have decided that I deserve some time to myself. So I am actively saying no to things that are not a hell yes or heck yes. Sorry for my slip there. Oh. if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. And I used to feel like I know some pretty big names in the personal finance space, and several of them have said, oh yeah, I don't schedule meetings. I don't, you know, plan ahead. I don't like whatever. And at first I was like, wow, that's kind of selfish. It absolutely is selfish. You have to take time for yourself. And, you know, Andressa, you said, what does success look like beyond the numbers? Success to me looks like prioritizing myself, my family, my relationship with my husband. And then investing is kind of secondary now because I spent so much time doing the investing upfront.
Wow. So many different things we could pull from there and just like different directions there. But I want to know from you, Andressa, like, what about you? You know, what does success look like to you now versus when we started the podcast 6 years ago?
My main goal was before was like acquiring properties, right? I was doing like 15 projects at the same time. I was like, oh, how can I do double of this? Right now, my main goal is to keep my cortisol level down. My main goal is to make sure that I am present with my son, that I am having healthy, wonderful relationships, and I am like slowing down. And I'm not saying this like, oh, that's easy to let's go on vacation and just like wind down. No, not to my brain. I train my brain to be in high functioning for so long that I have to fight against it. I had a conversation with my friend another day. I was like, I know my brain's fighting with me when I go for a walk versus continue working over 8 hours, 9 hours, 12 hours a day when I don't work during the weekend anymore. And my brain is like, are you sure? There's so much for you to do. But it's a retraining, right? I am retraining. It's not easy, but I think I'm getting rewarded for investing in myself, my health, the relationships that I am in right now with people. Like, it's wonderful. we were in Austin and I started crying like out of gratitude because I was like, this is so good. So good. Like I was so present seeing things and I like start crying out of nowhere just for gratitude. So that's where I am at right now. I'll turn the page, Liz, for you. What's going on for you? What success looks like to you?
Yeah, I think success, if you asked me that 6 years ago, I think obviously I would have a different answer. I love what you both said, but I need to say something different because it would be repeat, right? That's super boring and they're going to stop listening to this podcast. No, I think success, what it looks like to me when it comes to whether it's my investing or new ventures or my family is like alignment with myself. And what do I mean by that is like true alignment of like what's coming up for me, what do I need and want, and then being able to express it and go after it. I think in the past, I went after things. There's no question. That happened, but I don't know if I did the pre-work and had the true alignment of like, is this important to me? Am I doing this just to say, you know, just to save face? Or what's behind this for me? So a true alignment with like, kind of like my mind, body, and soul, not to get too deep, but I think that's what success looks like to me because my relationships will be more, you know, peaceful, or I'll have more healthier relationships, or businesses will grow as a result if I have that true alignment with self. I think I was always looking outside, and I feel like my journey is going more internal, which is great because I think then it affects the outside. It always does, right? So that's my answer to that question.
And I think that's huge. I think so many times, especially as women, we are driven to do more. And you only have 24 hours in the day. I have 24. Liz has 24. Andressa has 24. Nobody gets 25. I wish. So you,
I wish I was that person, but
except on those stupid spring forward or spring back days, which it comes when I'm asleep. I don't even get any use out of it, but you only have 24 hours in the day. And if you are going for 20 of them, you get put to the back burner. I love what you just said, Liz, about what do I need and want and then going after it and having true alignment with my mind, body, and soul. One of the things that I have been prioritizing is my health because that took a back seat for a long time. When you're working at a computer 8 hours a day and you have young children and you're trying to flip a house that you're living in, all of a sudden, all your time is sucked up. And it is, I don't like working out. I hate working out. So skipping the gym is super easy for me. I signed up for yoga. I'm a member of some yoga company near my house. I have a gym membership. I even have a concierge doctor where I can call them at any time. I go, it's super easy to get an appointment. They don't take insurance. So you're just paying cash for everything. But when I go in there, I give them my, you know, all the things and they're like, oh, have you tried this? Have you tried that? I'm already feeling better just from one visit with this doctor because she's like, we ran a bunch of blood work and you have like no vitamin D. Well, how do I have no vitamin D? Okay, everybody has no vitamin D. You need to take vitamin D. I'm not a doctor, but talk to your doctor about your vitamin D levels. And it's just, I'm already feeling better now that I am focusing on different aspects of my health.
I'm curious, how has that impacted your relationship to money? Because often people were like either or, right? I could focus on my health or I could focus on my increasing my financial well-being. Have you seen a direct impact?
My financial well-being is set. And I don't think that I did it the right way. I could have prioritized my health while also working on my financial well-being. But there were like years I didn't go to the gym and or years that I would sign up because, you know, everybody wants to sign up in January. You sign up and you go for like 2 days. And after the end of the second day, you're like, oh, I can't even move. So you wait till you heal and then maybe you go back one other time and then, you know, stuff happens and you just don't go. I mean, there's been months that I don't hit the gym at all. And I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, I just feel better when I'm working out. I don't. I hate it every minute that I'm there and I don't feel better afterwards.
You're funny. I actually really like running. It's my sweat therapy, but
yeah.
I was like, oh God.
never got a runner's high. Like, I'm just breathing heavy. Whenever I work out, my face is like a tomato. Some people can, like, run and just look great, dewy and yeah. glowy. And
Liz runs. Look how ridiculous. She runs, and then she records a video after that.
Oh, I bet. And she just looks perfect
totally
all the time.
Totally fine. With that. Totally making sense and all of that. I think a lot of the women that are listening understand this, like, hustle mentality, right? That what got them here, it might not be what's going to get them there, their future self. Liz and I always talk about, like, our future self, what's going on. And you know one thing that women are talking inside our community, and I'm just going to paraphrase or try to translate what they're saying. They're falling out of love with real estate some way, shape, or form. They want more in life. More different, more in the sense of what is beyond real estate, what it's other types of investments that they don't know they could do, what other types of passive investments that they can also get a decent return versus having to be actively doing it and consuming just to get what, a percentage extra, 2% extra, or whatever that might be. They want to grow, but it's slowed down in so many areas. So how have you dealt with your relationship with real estate and investment in general? Did that change with the years for you?
It did. I used to be all in on live-in flips, which is a slower way to invest. The way that I do it is you have to own it for 2 years and then you don't pay capital gains taxes on the gain. Which I love, paying 0% tax on money. That's my favorite. But I have been pulling back on my real estate investing just because of the interest rate environment. I live in a place where rent to purchase ratio is not the 1% rule. It's like 0.5, maybe 0.6 if you get a real dump that you have to fix up. But there's also a lot of competition. And real estate investors aren't always playing under the same rules. What works for me might not work for Andressa and might be a triple home run for Liz. So we all have different ideas of what works. I'm not going to get into a bidding war over some piece of garbage house that I then have to spend time I don't have fixing up before I can even rent it out. I have gotten a little burned out with the live-in flip. I like to live in a nice house, and I don't currently because it's a mess. But, 30 years ago when I first did my live-in flip, I was astonished at – I made $25,000 with my live-in flip. Can you imagine? You imagine those numbers now? I'd be like, are you kidding me? $25,000 on flip number 10? No. So I'm actually looking at adding my daughter to the title of my house because I have made so much money on this particular flip that I'm in right now. I'm going to have to pay taxes because just my husband and I are on the title. And shout out to Natalie Collati who gave me this tip. You exclude $250,000 of capital gains per person on title.
Ah, is there a cap? How many people you can put?
That's a good question. I don't know. And all of them have to be on title for 2 years. They have to live in it as their primary residence. Okay. But I have realized more than $500,000 worth of gains on this property. Wow. It was a real dump. And I bought it in 2019. So the market went crazy after that. If I can get my daughter on title, now I have $750,000 in tax-free capital gains. And I don't think I'll make more than $750,000. That would be a really nice problem to have because then I could throw my other daughter on there.
Claire, if you're hearing us, claim that. Claim that money, Claire. Don't let go.
Yeah, why pay taxes if you don't have to? And this is totally legal. I'm not like pulling the wool over the IRS's eyes. But people have heard that, or people have long said it's 250 per, 250 if you're single and 500 if you're married. It's actually 250 per person on title. So you all have to be on title, and but then sell it and pay no capital gains. Yes, please. So I have been pulling back on my real estate investing, and I'm considering alternative investments like private equity, private lending. I have a variety of buckets to choose from. Again, I'm 52 years old and I have been saving in my 401k and contributing to my Roth IRA and doing all of these things to set me up for the financial situation that I have right now. And now I'm looking at different ways to deploy that money. I have a self-directed solo 401k. I'm going to shout out Dmitry Fomachenko from Sense Financial. He is my custodian. He knows everything there is to know about self-directed 401ks, solo 401ks, self-directed IRAs, and he can give you guidance on what is the best for you. For me, a self-directed solo 401k was best because I have self-employment income from my real estate agent thing. My husband has it from his blog income. And if you don't have any employees other than your spouse, you can open up this account and any other full-time employees other than your spouse. You can open up this account and you can contribute. You personally can contribute your $23,000. I believe it's $23,000 in 2024. And then if you're over 50 like me, you get an additional $6,000 that you can contribute to your 401k. And then your company can match your salary up to 20, can match your contributions up to 25% of your salary. So, and it caps out at like $54,000 or $62,000. But that money is more than you can put into a traditional 401k. So if you have self-employment income, absolutely look into the self-directed solo 401k. Because hey, guess what? I can use that account to invest with real estate.
Mindy, I think you're raising something really important. I just want to dive into a little further. It's something that a lot of women are managing, especially when we serve in our community and in Strive. They have so many different buckets and they're trying to determine strategically, beyond just a financial planner, but strategically, holistically, what are the right next steps for them with where they want to go with their family, with their retirement goals? Because no one wants to just sit on the beach. These are active women who are looking to grow, but they're wanting to grow their wealth. So what were the things that you've done to set you up for the success of saying, okay, these are the buckets. This is where I am. This is something that makes sense for me and my family. I'm sure it doesn't happen overnight, just like it hasn't for me or Jessa. But what were some of those steps that you took so you could put this kind of like more holistic plan for yourself now where you are, right? Six years later.
Way back when, I've been married since 2002, and my husband and I have been investing in the stock market through individual stocks at first, and now we have learned about index funds and are doing more index funds. We're not really buying individual stocks anymore. But my husband is a tech geek, and he was just on the front edge of tech stocks when they kind of exploded. So he used Google and was like, this is unlike anything I have ever seen. I'm going to invest in Google. And Google did this thing where they did a public IPO, not a private IPO where only the people who know the investment bankers that work at the company that's doing the IPO can get in on it. Like anybody could have gotten in on the Google IPO. So we did that. He was reading about this guy named Elon Musk back in the early 2010s and really liked what Elon was doing. He loves the concept of the electric car and, you know, changing the world with removing our reliance on fossil fuels. And he invested in Tesla in 2012. And it's been up and down and up and down, and it's split a bunch of times. I think our cost basis right now is like a dollar or something. And the stock is trading at, I don't know, $200-$400 a share right now. So it's grown so much. Taking advantage of things that you know about is always going to put you ahead of the pack. And if you don't know anything about investing in the stock market, then don't try to pick stocks. That is an absolutely guaranteed 100% you're going to lose money. because you're going to go with a stock that you heard, and maybe you didn't listen to all of the information, and you're like, oh yeah, Enron, I've heard about that. They're in the news. I'll buy them. And it's like, well, they're worth nothing now. You know, so if you want to invest in the stock market, but you don't know much about it, index funds are the way to go. Low-cost index funds, go to Fidelity, open up an account, and put money into VTSAX, or again, your mileage may vary. This is not investment advice. Past performance is not indicative of future gains. Blah, 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 blah. Disclaimers everywhere.
I love that, though. I love that the idea of, and I wrote it down, invest in what you know and be able to look ahead. And so it's really the story that Andres and I kind of had when we started InvestHer, right? We in a sense, were investing our time, our money, our energy into creating a community that didn't exist, right? 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And we said, what do we want to be part of?
It didn't exist. And I think many people said there's no need to exist. Many people said you're not going to have enough women to interview on your podcast. So it's not like everybody was like, awesome, great idea, yeah, no, go for it.
That's not the case.
Okay, no. So that is very similar to the investment advice that I give people. They're like, oh yeah, I want to invest in real estate, but my best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend lost a ton of money on it. So I don't know if I should do it. Okay, well, then don't listen to your best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend because she doesn't know what she's doing. It's a quote from Ferris Bueller.
Oh my gosh, you're good. But no, it's so true. I think there's a level of investing, whether it's a tangible asset, right? Stock market, real estate, and to what Andres and I was doing, you know, investing in an idea, investing in a mission that was bigger than us, but you really are investing in something that you really believe in. And I think there is a level of when you do that, you know, the universe conspires, and that what led us to, obviously the podcast was first for us. We had no community, which led us to a Facebook community, 16,000 women there. That led us to doing a meetup, which Andres and I took very seriously, our first meetup. We have over 50 meetups now across the country and Canada, which then led to doing our first summit and saying, hey, during COVID, we want to serve women. And they're like, what do you do? What can you provide me with? We're like, give us a little time. We'll figure that out, which we were able to create our Strive Mentorship program for women who are scaling 5 to 10 deals and more, which then led us to our InvestHer Con, right? So there's and so much, we're just getting started. We're a baby. We're like a 6-year-old, right? But I say all that because it is about investing in what you know, investing in where your passion is, and investing in something that's bigger than you. And that you see a momentum happening. That's what you saw with Tesla. That's what you saw with Google. That's what we saw with pouring into women who didn't have a place, a safe place to come together. So I just wanted to tie that in because I think it's so meaningful as we are
embarking on this
episode. And I
just want to pick back on that to the sense that whatever you are investing, it's not like a hobby. Right? Sometimes, depending on who I talk to, they're like, oh, so you have a group? No, I have a multi-million dollar company and watch why I'm doing what I'm doing and where we're going. And I can back that up with numbers. I can back that up with real data of evolution. I understand marketing. I'm understanding more than ever about technology and building a community. Events itself, InvestorCon, it's a conference, is a completely different new business, right? So as entrepreneurs, whatever is you're looking to invest in different businesses, take it as from a business perspective, not necessarily, well, I'll just try it out and see how it works. There was no trying for Liz and I. There was no trying. We're going to do this because we believe very, very much on this mission and goes beyond her and I. We always said, listen, we're going to interview women and we're going to have a good time talking to those women. If nobody listens to it, so be it. Her and I are going to be fulfilling our souls. And that's always the purpose. We were not attached to, oh, will other people really like it? Of course, if nobody liked it, what's the purpose of us really putting a lot of time and effort to growing something? We need to hear what women really want and need. But it always starts with her and I fulfilling our deep, deep soul, our mission, and realigning with ourselves. Otherwise, what the hell? Like, what's the purpose of just doing for the sake of having a podcast? I'm sorry. No, now I'm going to ask my 90-year-old neighbor if she has a podcast, because everybody on Earth right now has a podcast.
I have two.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now you got to start collecting extra ones. Okay, so you both just shared a ton of information. I was taking notes as you were talking. Liz, you said invest in something you believe in. I want to add to that. Don't be afraid to pivot. Just because you believe in this now doesn't mean that this is the best investment for you forever. I love live in flipping, or I loved live in flipping until I didn't anymore. And I am in my last live in flip because it's a lot of work and I'm old and I don't want to do it anymore. So don't be afraid to pivot. I'm doing other things with my investing. I have a medium-term rental around, I'm pointing at it, it's over there. It's around the corner from my house. And it's working great. Eventually, I am going to move into that property. And then I will either turn my current house into a medium-term rental or I'll sell it. But what I am doing in my life right now is not something that I want people to compare themselves to, especially if they're not 52 years old, haven't been investing for 25 years in the stock market and in real estate. I'm in a different place than you are because I have different circumstances in my life. So one of my favorite quotes is, comparison is the thief of joy. Don't compare the beginning of your journey to the middle or end of mine. Just, you know, continually getting better, continually learning in your journey is the best way to go about that. And then Andressa, you said investing is not a hobby. Abso-flip-flappin-lutely, it is not a hobby. It is a business, and you need to treat it as the business that it is, or you're going to lose money. That's another guarantee. If you don't treat it like a business, you're not going to be successful. That's, you might have a bit of success, but treating it like a business and removing as many emotions as you can from the transactions is going to be the best way to go about that. And Andressa, you also said something about building a community. I think of community as a square dance. So stay with me. We're all members of a bunch of different communities, and I'm in this community right now, and I'm, you know, doing my thing, square dancing with my one partner here. And then you, I don't know, spin your partner round and round. So that's over here. And then do-si-do is maybe like anybody who's a square dance expert, like, don't come at me because I don't know.
Square dance, but like, wait a minute. Square dance is the thing that we saw in Austin List that they go around the circle?
I don't know about that. That's like a two-step dance. I'm not sure if that was square dancing.
It's a bunch of groups.
I grew up
of
square
people,
dancing.
And yeah, then they like mix together.
Oh.
And then they mix together over here. So it's like this constant like flow of people, and you're constantly dealing with different people in your community. You're not just a member of one community. I'm a member of the personal finance community. I'm a member of the real estate community, which are two separate communities. I'm a member of the Longmont community, which is my city in town. I'm a member of the knitting community. I'm a member of the podcasters community. I've got all these different communities, and sometimes I need something from this community, and sometimes I can share with this community, and sometimes I can connect somebody from this community to somebody from this community because they have a shared thing and they wouldn't know each other without me being there. So building a community, being active in your community, giving with no expectation of return, you are going to get so much back. Because when you give with the expectation that, you know, hey, Liz, you wanted to have a conversation with me. Now you owe me. That's going to come through in our conversation. And you're going to be like, wow, I don't really like dealing with her because she expects something. She keeps score. So just give with no expectation of return, because people want to help people that helped them.
And I love what you say in terms of active, right? Because I think it's all about ownership. I love when I hear women say, oh, I like when I see women talking about investor community to others as if it was theirs, because it is theirs, right? Oh, in our community, this is what we do here. And I was like, keep going. That's exactly what we want, right? Because I think that women really need to understand the impact when they show up, when they play in the arena. It's just not for themselves. When they play in the arena and they share vulnerability, they also allow other people to come and say, hey, this is also not working for me. I would like support from other women. Women love support. other women and have a hard time receiving support. So it's also an opportunity for us to flex our muscles within a community where we feel safe to do that, right? So I encourage all of you that are listening to share. Share what's coming up for you. There's only one way that we can support you. If you have the courage to trust and share what's coming up for you and allow the women to pour into you, right? That's the bottom line, why we created this community first place.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of women who, and I was absolutely like this. Oh, if I ask for help, that means I'm weak. That means that I don't know what I'm doing. That means that I'm showing vulnerability. And let's think of it this way. If Liz asked Andressa for help, Andressa, are you going to be like, wow, Liz, you're a bum? No, you're not. You're going to be like, oh my goodness, I can help Liz. That's awesome. It's the same way when you ask for help, dear listeners. If you need help, ask for it. I mean, there's ways to ask for help and there's ways to not ask for help. Hey, can somebody do this for me? No. Hey, can somebody show me how this is done? Or can somebody share how they have had success with XYZ process? And people want to help people. Women want to help women. And it is absolutely, if you need something, ask your investors and they will help you out. Also, I love what you said about taking ownership. Yeah, InvestHers was started by Liz and Andressa, but it belongs to every one of you that is a member of the group.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting as our journey has unfolded in 500 episodes, we have gotten so many lessons, right? Us personally, before anyone has listened to the episode, Andressa and I would, you know, turn off the mics and go, I forgot I was interviewing that person, you know? And so, you know, 500, we encourage you to listen to every single episode, right? So make that happen. But out of all the 500 episodes, Andressa, for you, what was that one episode, that one lesson that is like, I got to share that and make sure everyone directs themselves to this as a future episode to listen to?
It was the episode with Terry Cole. She wrote the book Boundary Boss. And then she said, nobody deserves your immediate yes. So every time that somebody asks an appropriate question, I also pause. Every time that somebody asks for me to commit to something, I pause. And then she comes in my head, it's like, nobody deserves your immediate response also. And if I said, I'm glad you're curious about it, let me get back to you whenever I want to, if I want to, or I don't think that's appropriate for me to answer you, anything else you would like to know, like really like not feeling obligated to answer everybody that thinks that they have the freedom to put me in a position where they like, yeah, you tell me like right now. No.
I'll get back to you when I feel like it. Yeah, like when I call somebody who is not expecting my phone call, they're not obligated to answer the phone. Just because your phone rings doesn't mean
you have time to talk to you.
Right? I saw this another day. People were like, I call you 100 times. It's like, and I saw it ringing 100 times.
Yeah, when my doorbell rings, we just had a bunch of hailstorms here, and then all of the roof salesmen come out and they're ringing my doorbell. They're knocking on my door. I'm walking past. I'm like, they have a roofing sign on, like a roofing t-shirt on. I'm not obligated to open that door. I walk right past the door and keep on going. I'm gonna wave. I am not obligated to answer the door just because they rang it. I eventually put up a sign that says, my roof is fine. Stop knocking on my door.
Oh, that's funny. I love that. I love that. It's so important.
But yeah, nobody deserves your immediate yes. What an awesome quote. I'm going to add that to my quotes that I spit out at people. I love that.
You know, for me, I would say, because I have to tell you mine, I would say it was episode 348, Women and Money, Financial Independence is Your Birthright by Farnoosh Torba. And she's a personal finance expert. And she was talking about renegotiating the contract with your spouse. And we had a pause when we were talking to her. It was a really great episode. And we're like, what do you mean? Like your marriage contract? Like what contract are you talking about? And the way she said it, and it really hit me very hard. And I share this all the time, is that it's actually it's not a written down contract, and it probably needs to be, meaning, which then can really, that idea that you have a contract with people and in the relationships that you have. And every time you get to the next level in your life, or the next time you're pivoting or something shifting for you, you need to renegotiate the contract with people, and you need to renegotiate the contract with yourself. So her one kind of tip, one strategy, I ended up talking through a number of things with my husband, but it is so applicable to so many things, is that we have these kind of unspoken, unwritten contracts, and we need to constantly say, what is it? And is it working? And if it's not working, how do we renegotiate it? I just thought that was such a powerful point, and it is super.
Especially the assumptions, right? When you were married met 16 years ago, you were completely two different people.
19 years. Yeah.
When was 16? I got it wrong. Sorry, Matt.
Maybe I wrote
love
that
you.
In some. Yeah, I know, right? But it's so true, right? And it's like nothing is stagnant. No quote unquote contract is stagnant. Something that Andres and I constantly do is we talk about, you know, on a monthly basis, like what's working, what's not working. Well, what are we doing? We're renegotiating our relationship, our partnership, right? So that term is just a powerful thing that left me, and I use it all the time, you know?
And that's the two of you in a business relationship. How frequently are you, and it's more like you plural, the listeners, how frequently are you checking in with your spouse? How frequently are you having your own State of the Union discussion? And, you know, my husband and I don't have a formal discussion. We discuss it all the time, like every single day. We're talking about money. We're talking about investments. We're talking about ourselves and our projects. And it's this ongoing conversation. He doesn't work. I work from home. We're always around each other. So it makes it really easy to have these conversations. Plus, he's in the personal finance space. I'm in the personal finance space. Like, this is our really main topic of conversation because we're nerds. But we're constantly talking about this. If you and your spouse don't have the same scenario that my spouse and I have, that doesn't mean that you don't have to talk about it ever. You just need to come up with a frequency that works. I mean, Andressa and Liz do it every month. You should at least be doing it every month with the person that you are married to or are in a long-term partnership with. Yeah.
So, Mindy, thank you so, so much. I would love to be I just love chatting with you. And I forgot that we're recording this so that everyone can benefit. But, you know, I think we covered so much today, not just about growth and celebrating our 500th episode, but like looking at ourselves. I would encourage everyone listening, just because it's our 500th episode, how have you grown the last 6 years? You know, like what the things we asked ourselves today and one another, ask those to yourself. And the lessons of investing in the things that you respect and like, and where you see things are headed. And most importantly, no one deserves your yes. And hey, renegotiate that contract. So thank you, Mindy, for celebrating this milestone with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me back. It is always lovely to talk with you.
And where can the ladies and gentlemen who are listening learn more about you? Forgot to ask you that.
I am all over BiggerPockets, biggerpockets.com/forums. You can email me, mindy@biggerpockets.com. And I am also the host of the Bigger Pockets Money Podcast. So give us a listen if you want to talk more about money.
Love it. Mindy, thank you so much. One more time. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Andressa. And thank you, Liz. Have a great day. And congratulations on 500 episodes. Holy cannoli. That's such a great milestone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion.
so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.